Sit back, relax, and raise a glass. For spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin falls. With your pre-haunting host having a ball. Trope was home and Washington rule. With guests and spirits to your favorite pools. Gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs. Crack open the can and fill to the top. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs. This is your podcast and it's called Hogs and Hogs.
No matter where you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. We cover all things paranormal while enjoying the creativity of delicious craft beer. Follow us on all social media platforms at Haunts and Hops. Johnny LaQuasto here at Jay Quasto on the socials. But moving on to the stars of the show, she's a veteran paranormal investigator. You've seen her as a team member on Ghost Hunters, lifelong paranormal experiences, and no doubt a beverage in her hand. Find her at Ashley Trobe. She is the queen of kittens herself, Ashley Trobe.
Hello. I love cats and ghosts and ghost cats.
What's up, you cats and kittens?
Oh, oh, God. Cool cats and kittens. What's up?
And our special guest will be Carol Baskin. So we're going to make that happen.
Yes! I have so many things to say to that
woman.
No!
Yeah, that may be a three-part episode right there.
Yeah.
Sure, and yeah. Also along for the ride, certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology, she's about to do yet another stand-up comedy show virtually. Find her at Anastasia W or Anastasia Washington, because she is none other than Anastasia Washington.
Hey guys.
Hey. Oh, wow. That was a slow move that you just did on us.
You know, that's the kind of move, like, you can't really see it, but like, that's the kind of move that guys do on you when you're like in the theater or something. But I did it on a beer.
Wow. That was a lot for me, especially because you know that I love beer. And I love you. So that wasn't cool.
Same. I'm going to be honest. I don't remember what it's like to go to the movies with a woman. So I can't really relate.
Oh, me neither.
Yeah. What are movies like?
That's coming from a gay woman. I also don't remember what it's like.
Number one, we're going to get to the beer we're drinking. Thank you to our sponsor, Tavour. Follow the app at TAVOUR. Sign up for the app. Create your own virtual beer crate. Once you get $20 in your account, you will automatically get $10 added to it if you use the code from us, HAUNTS10. That's HAUNTS10. With that said, Anastasia, what are you drinking on this evening?
Oh, well, I'm drinking a London Lager from McLeod Ale.
That was the wrong accent, wasn't it?
No, I like it. Keep going.
That's my London. Now I've gone Southern. I don't know what's happening.
They sounded Southern the whole time.
It did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's drinking a sweet tea lager.
The London Lager from McLeod Ale is 5.3 alcohol volume. I'm getting up there, you guys. It's happening. It's a little heartier taste than the last beer I tried from them, which kind of is nice. It's like if you're cold, you want to if you're going to drink a light beer, you need a little bit more of a girth. That sounded gross. Anyway, I'm going to get it a 3.5.
Would that just be the ad right there? That was terrifying.
So Anastasia's enjoying a girthy beer, Ashley. I hope you can follow that.
Oh, man. Well, it's not girthy, but it's a triple hopped lager.
Oh, that's hearty. That's hearty.
It's hearty. It's not girthy.
Yeah.
From Bitburger and Sierra Nevada. And honestly, I'm part of a group on Facebook, and one of the moderators posted about this beer, and I was like, I have to find this. I need this in my life. And I finally found it, and oh my God, it was 1,000% worth looking for. It is so good. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just, it's perfect in every way, and there's no description to even say what it is. It's a lager that has hops. It's not an IPA. It's so good and rich and creamy and amazing. And I don't even know what it's clocking in at.
And it's from Sierra Nevada.
And Bitburger. They did a collaboration. And it's just, it's so perfect that I actually talked to my boss today and he was like, we have too much of that in the back stock. And I was like, oh, we have customers that are buying it. And he's like, are you the customer? And I was like,
yes,
yes, yes, I am. He was like, we have too much in the back. I was like, we don't have anything in the back. And then he walked me into the back and there was still a case. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to drink it. And he's like, you can't buy things for you. I was like, well, I already did. And also, I run this department, so I'm going to.
Yeah, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission.
And that's what I do. And I don't apologize because this beer is so good. If you guys have not tried it, highly recommend. This is what it looks like.
I don't know about y'all. I nerd out when I see collaborations. Like if I walk into a brewery and I see a collabo, I'm like, yo, I'm having at least a 12 ounce of that.
So here's the thing. Like I always love collaborations and I get really excited. And then I get it and I'm like, ugh, this is not great because I expect one thing from one brewery and one from the other. This legitimately is a collaboration that I, for the first time, have genuinely loved. And I really think
the first time in forever, she likes a collaboration beer.
7 days.
There's never in my history of loving beer, been a collaboration that I've bought more than once until now. And this is one of them.
So what are we giving it?
Ooh. Out of 5?
Yeah.
Like a 4.8.
Oh, ooh. My.
Yeah. And alcohol level, did you already say that? I might have.
I can't find it. No, it's 5.8. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really good. It's delicious. It's a very easy after work beer. And it's just, it's genuinely refreshing because it's not so hoppy that you can't drink it like an IPA. I know Anastasia, again, I know you don't like IPAs, but I think that you would like this one. It's just, it's so refreshing and good and light and delicious. And
I want to try it. I want to try it real bad.
Well, check out our Untappd at Haunts and Hops if you want to find out what beer that is exactly. I am drinking from Brickstone Brewery in Bourbonnais, Illinois. I'm drinking the Hop Skip, which is a double pale ale clocking in at 7.75%.
Oof.
And it's loaded with hops, yet it's also very smooth. I'm pleasantly surprised. But you know what? That's why I trust Tavor. Tavor sends us beer. I trust they're going to be amazing, and you can trust them too.
Let me see the can again.
Here's the can.
It kind of looks like an like a energy drink.
It's not a monster, but it looks like it.
But it looks like it, like a really cool, like, I'm going to get hyped up. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I'm digging it. And you'll get hyped up too. Use the code HAUNTS10 when you download the Tavor app. With that said, it's now time for the Supernatural Scoop. So we have a video/audio clip, a little disturbing here. So there's a company called TechRax who is testing new iPhones on their quality and endurance, right? And then so they got the idea to drop an iPhone 11 down a super deep hot cauldron hole known as Diana's Punch Bowl, aka Devil's Cauldron. I don't know exactly where this is, but well,
it started off as a porno, but keep going.
Sure.
Okay.
It's a short film. So, I'm not quite sure where it is, but they dropped it all the way down and they took video of it and they got very disturbed when after it went in the water, you can hear these audible noises, which sounds like screams. I'm going to play them for you right now. Tell me what you think.
That's called Nightmares for Life.
Yeah.
There has been very little evidence, paranormal experiences, whatever it might be, that I've seen on video or in audio that I've legitimately gotten goosebumps after. But this is one that I have. I have tried to find everything about this. I have looked all over the internet. I'm just, okay, what point does water boil? Because one thing that isn't mentioned immediately is that the water is incredibly hot there, right? It's what is it, 140 degrees Fahrenheit at all times?
It's a lot. And also the iPhone stopped recording immediately after those voices, by the way.
Lord, it is so terrifying because I keep trying to watch it and I get goosebumps every time. And I want to find a reason for that to not be real. Again, I haven't found anything. I am still going to run the audio through all the programs that I can. But wow, like the first time I heard that was so incredibly upsetting.
Really, so you want to go swimming?
Yes. I hate the, we've talked about this on previous episodes. I don't like going in the water. That made it worse. That made it 10,000 times worse.
But the jellyfish love you so much.
The jellyfish do. Apparently the spirits that are stuck in hell do not. Okay. In Diana's vagina.
And that's what they're wondering, is Diana's cauldron, is it the devil's cauldron, is it a portal? And with that said, we're going to play it one more time, because why not?
I went on this deep dive binge for a while where I was listening to live to like recorded exorcisms.
Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was just like into it until I was like listening to all these different exorcisms that I could find until I started feeling like really not great. But that's kind of feels like that.
It's really intriguing. It's really incredible. And like I said, I found this and I was like, we have to play this because if it stumps Ashley, then I know there's something to it.
Well, we are going to link this article so you can see the video in full. You can hear the audio to yourself. We're going to put it on our Facebook. We're going to put it in the link of the description of the show. Please listen to this and tell us what you think, because I hear so much audio. I hear so many stories about the paranormal, and this is the first one that gave me goosebumps without me knowing the full story. And I have legitimately been looking into this, trying to figure out what this could be, and it's scary as hell. So
yeah, and email us tweet us or send us a voicemail about what your thoughts are. We'd love to hear it. Or if you have something similar,
could it be when you're boiling water, it starts to make that screaming noise? No, it's not even close enough. Like I have I'm gonna keep looking into it, but it's been driving me nuts since I heard it and read it, and I just not a fan, don't like it.
Yeah. Well, one thing you will like is the interview that I was lucky enough to do with Stephen Barcello from the Cryptozoology and Paranormal Museum in Littleton, North Carolina. And the interview will explain everything, but I took a pilgrimage up home to Pennsylvania, which I don't know why I said pilgrimage. I didn't go anywhere religious, but I left.
An emotional, spiritual.
Yeah. I need to get out of my head. I drove up and I found this museum on the way, and it was really cool. So enjoy this interview with Stephen Barcello from the Cryptozoology and Paranormal Museum. All right, we are sitting here in the heart of the Cryptozoology and Paranormal Museum right here in Littleton, North Carolina, and I'm with the owner, the creator, the guy who runs everything, including the town, really, Stephen Barcello. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for coming. I appreciate it. Welcome to the lovely town of Littleton, the home of Bigfoot.
Right. So your life story is incredible. You essentially decided to get out of New York, semi-retire, and you somehow came across this house having no idea of its history and the fact that it's haunted.
Yeah, exactly. I was escaping high taxes, tolls, and the dying newspaper business. I used to be a journalist of the New York Daily News. And I looked all over. Obviously, I looked upstate New York. I just got done doing a documentary on Bigfoot for the Daily News up there. And upstate New York's a lot different than Manhattan or Long Island. A lot more reasonable. Taxes are a lot cheaper. But it's still New York. And it's cold up there. So I started looking farther south. I love Gettysburg. So I looked in that area. And I didn't find anything that really fit the bill. And I didn't want to be anywhere near the water after dealing with Hurricane Sandy, so I was looking for something in a definitely no flood zone. Somehow we found this little town of Littleton, a town of 650 people, and this big old house, big old historic house, and we're 387 feet above sea level, so it kind of fit the bill, and I got it for next to nothing. I mean, ridiculously cheap.
So I have to ask, because you got it for about a quarter of its market value. Do you think the price was so low because they were having trouble selling it because of it being haunted, or why do you think you got it so cheap?
I don't think that was the case. I've even asked them that because they literally told me they had no idea there was paranormal activity here. Mom and dad were passed away. They were maintaining this house. The house is roughly 1850s, as far as we know, probably older than that. It's a strange house. Underground stream, a hidden room on the second floor. It's three floors. It's almost 4,000 square feet. It's a big old place. But basically, I think basically the market was just so bad then. I mean, I took a loss on my house in Long Island. I mean, that's just what the market was. I mean, I got it for $52,000. I mean, it's just a crazy price. I mean, so we ended up just taking money out of my pension, buying the place. I didn't live here the first year. Hired some local contractors, and they were having issues. At this point, we didn't know anything was going on. I mean, we had some little odd things happen to us, but you write it off. You don't know a house. But they were seeing shadow people. Their tools were moving. Voices. They were downstairs working. They heard these footsteps upstairs. Sound like people were moving furniture. They thought it was us, that we came down from New York. They come upstairs. They don't see our cars. They come in the house, and of course, nobody's here. You know, time to go home. In the beginning, they didn't even tell us. We found out later, and we had guys walking off the job because of it. And, you know,
so how big were these were small groups of contractors, I'm assuming.
Oh, sure.
Three, four. So it's not like you had a house full of people.
No, you're talking one or two guys working at a time. I mean, it's hard to get guys in these little towns. You got a handful of really good guys. They're busy. And you don't want to scare them off. I mean, you know, the house scare them off. It's a problem here.
So, for example, like you mentioned, they're down in the basement, and they clearly hear things being moved.
Yes. Hearing footsteps. They said they heard footsteps upstairs, and it sounded like someone was, like, dragging furniture across the floor. So they assumed it was us. In the meantime, there was, like, no furniture in the house because we hadn't moved in.
The house was empty. What kind of stuff were they doing in the house?
They were doing some jacking,
they were pissing off the spirits.
Oh, sure. Oh, they're doing some major work in the house. And we had rot. We had fascias that were rotted. I want to keep the squirrels out. We had a leak on a roof in the back, which has actually reoccurred. Now I'm getting roofers in to get prices on that. I mean, it's an old money pit. That's what you deal with here.
Now, obviously, I can tell you've always been fascinated by Bigfoot and cryptozoology, but you didn't live here for a year after you bought the house. Once you moved in, I mean, this entire front part of the house is a really cool museum. It's unlike anything you really see in the country. How did this all come about?
Well, basically, like I said, I moved down here now after about a year. And myself and my oldest daughter were the first ones to actually be here full time. We used to travel around. On weekends, I used to do computer shows, really date myself. I used to sell shareware and things. That shows me how old I am. But and I used to drag Holly with me. At the time, she was like 9. But we'd go out on the way back. If we had a good weekend, I'd stop at Gettysburg. We'd do some ghost hunting. Of course, I'd take her to the Shoney's and buy her a bear. Typical, you know, dad stuff. And that's how we kind of got into it. Years later, we created a paranormal group on Long Island. And then eventually, I'd be the guy the local radio stations would call to tell the story of the lighthouse. When I started working as a journalist, it's not the kind of thing you mention to your boss. Oh, by the way, I'm into paranormal and stuff. It's like, kill your credibility. Well, eventually she found out and she came to me and she said, you never told me this. I go, why would I? You know? And she said, why don't we do something with it? So now here I'm being paid to go out and shoot these little documentaries for the Daily News and do these little stories. Well, how cool is that? You know? And now I get access to places I never could have got in before. And that's how it kind of started. So by the time I come down here, now I've got a little bit of a background in it. My wife, not at all. So I kind of took advantage of it. If you got life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. It gives you a haunted house, you do ghost hunts.
So the Daily News actually got behind paranormal content?
Yeah, the very first paranormal piece we did was a piece, actually, it was a Jersey Devil story that went to hell in a handbag, and I repitched it as a paranormal piece. Actually, it's kind of funny. I'm heading down to the Jersey Shore to do this story on the Jersey Devil, which is Smithville, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I get, my desk calls me. It's a weekend. And I've got 2 days, 2 nights I'm going to be down there. And they basically tell me, you got to turn around because I did Long Island, Nassau, Suffolk County.
What year are we talking?
Oh, this has got to be, I don't remember the year, 8, 9 years ago.
Okay.
This is when Lindsay Lohan was going through her train wreck phase. So basically, Lindsay Lohan's back in town, and I need to go over and track her down and stuff because the family knows me. They'll talk to me and stuff. And I said, geez, I said, no, I'm cleared for this. Get someone else. No, you need to go. So I said, hang on, let me make a phone call. So I literally reach out to Michael Lohan, so I'm still in touch with occasionally, the dad. And Mike says, no, no, she's in Manhattan. It's Dina's birthday, the wife, and they're going to George Washington Hotel and whatever. So basically, I was able to get them off my back. It's not my turf. It's Manhattan. I knew by the next day they're not going to know where she was again. So basically, I head down to Jersey, I get down to Smithville, and one of the main people I need, the Leeds family member, wasn't available. So I'm trying to throw this story together, and it just goes to hell in a handbag. But I heard these amazing, amazing paranormal stories, and we interviewed a few people. Next day, back in Long Island, next thing you know, later in the afternoon, here I am in Merrick in front of Dina Lohan's house with TMZ and the rest of them. And but anyway, I go back about a week later. I'm back in Manhattan. The boss apologizes. They pulled me out of there. I said, I'd like to repitch this piece as a paranormal piece. So I set it up. I go back down there. And we do this piece, which you can see on the web. It's Speaking to Ghosts in Smithville, the Daily News. And it's on my site. And it's kind of a plain Jane first paranormal piece we did. It's a voiceover the whole bit. And it was number one on the Daily News webpage for 4 days straight. Manager came back to me and said, what else do you have? I said, how about Bigfoot and Whitehall, New York? And they looked at each other and said, we would say no right away, but you seem to know what you're doing, so we're going to give you the green light. And we figured out a little budget, and off I went. And that did very well. And so little by little, I was getting these little pieces when I wasn't busy doing my regular beat and covering things. I loved it. I thought it was a blast. I was enjoying the heck out of it. And I had full control over it, too, which was fun. But then the business dropped. New management came in. My bosses eventually all got fired. It took about a year to get to me. I never got canned, but I got cut from 7 days a week to two. Well, you can't do your job 2 days a week as a journalist, let alone pay your bills in Long Island. So I said, the hell with this. And everyone's going, hang in. They're going to need you. And most of the people that got canned are basically back working, but they went through that really incredibly bad time. I said, I'm getting out of here. And that's how I basically end up buying here, transplanting, coming down, and end up reinventing myself. And now after a haunted house, now I'm running a crypto paranormal museum and running paracons. And oh, by the way, I got suckered into running for office, and I'm a town commissioner.
I was about to say, you're also the town commissioner. Essentially, you're in charge. When the mayor's not around, per se, you're the guy.
I'm the mayor pro tem, but this, the way the government down here works, we have five commissioners and one mayor. And so basically we run our departments, and then anything large we do as a group and we vote. And the mayor doesn't really have a vote. He's there more to kind of run the meetings. Now, if one of the commissioners is not around, then he can break a vote if it's a tie or something like that. Okay. That's kind of how it works.
Now, with the museum, it's essentially a hodgepodge of paranormal.
Yes.
Before we get into me mentioning specific items, do you have a favorite or most intriguing item here in the museum that you have acquired?
Yeah, I guess the first thing that started is the Miss Beasley doll. So we end up, which is your kind of stereotypical haunted item, end up with a haunted doll. But we end up getting this thing. A woman found it in a flea market, actually a church flea market. And the reason she bought it was she's not into the paranormal. She bought it because she had one of these dolls as a child. She brings it home. She's living with her brother at the time. Next thing you know, this doll is moving. They're noticing some movement on it. They're not into it. So they end up sticking it in a closet on an upper shelf so they can know it's not being touched. And they would check on it and even take pictures of it. And they realized, like, it's moving on its own. And out of here. Let's get rid of it. So they knew we were doing ghost tours. So they brought it to us. At the time, we just had this basically living room set up as the area for the public to come into, say they want to go on a ghost hunt. And I stuck her in an old creepy rocking chair. And she looked good. I mean, it was just kind of, you know, more of a prop sort of thing. Well, we noticed some movement on her. So I don't know if someone's touching her, the dogs are poking her, we don't have any cameras on her. So we build a box to stick her in with a lock on it. And it looks very official. And so she's in this box now, but she's controlled.
And there's no ventilation, nothing.
There's a light in there, just illuminate her. Yeah. Since she's been in the box, we've had three major movements. I'm talking up and twisted. The chair's loose in there. The chair stays, and she's acting like she's climbed up out of the chair. Crazy stuff. And we've had some minor movements. I can't say for sure the minor movements are paranormal. I mean, it could be vibration stuff. But these major movements, there's something up. So basically now we have a camera on her. And since we've had the camera, unfortunately we haven't got anything great on her. But we have caught a shadow person going down the hallway next to her, which I showed you. And that's not available. So, I mean, it pays off. So now we're trying to put more equipment in the house. But she's the one that started things. But beyond that, I'd say that probably the freakiest thing we have is the haunted hay crane.
Right.
And that's something that came out of Granite Falls. The family that probably doesn't want me to use their name. In 1963, someone actually committed suicide on the rope, and they wanted us to deal with it. And it ended up here.
It's got a deep history. I was reading up on it. It was part of the family's farm for a number of years, and somehow it survived multiple natural disasters. And someone in the family was kind of connected to it. they didn't want to get rid of it.
The father, yeah.
Right, the father felt could have been connected in a very negative way, who knows. But the family finally had enough, and they just...
Well, when Dad passed away, that's when they reached out to me, and they talked to Mom. And they literally have blamed all the things that have gone wrong. I mean, multiple deaths, suicides, drugs, alcohol, 5 tornadoes hit the farm. I mean, all their bad luck was they kind of blamed on this thing. And they basically get on the internet, like, what do you do with a haunted item? And somehow we come up, and they reached out to me. And it was around the time we had Travel Channel coming here. That was for the Bigfoot sightings. Mm. And so basically, I'm not going to walk away from Travel Channel. And so I call him. I said, as soon as we're done wrapping this up, I'll come. And it was a Wednesday, and I end up just basically riding up to Hickory. I tell him I'm here. I said, I'd like to, you know, I'm here to, you know, look at the thing and interview the brothers. They're all like their 40s and stuff. And, oh, we're not coming. So what do you mean you're not coming? I just drove 3.5 hours. Oh, no, no, here's a key. There's a key outside. You can get into the barn. They had a piece of tape on the breaker panel, a flash. They had it all staged for me. But they're not there. So, I mean, my options were to either leave it or take it with me. So basically we smudged it and ended up bringing it here, and it's been here since.
Did you have any reservations at all about taking the crane and putting it in here just based off of what the family said?
Oh, sure. Okay. I mean, I actually called my wife and said, listen, you know, I'm on my way home with this crane in the back of the Honda CR-V. If you don't see me again, it got me. I mean, it was like, because the stories we heard from them. When I first went in there, it was on a shelf in a barn, and I go in there using a millimeter, and it's pegging.
Oh my.
So I'm going like, what the heck? I mean, is there electrical in the walls? You're doing all the debunking. I use gloves. I literally carry it to the center of the barn. I'm still getting activity, and I can walk away from it. It's coming from the item itself. So it's some metal involved, obviously, on this. So is it magnetized? I'm trying to figure things out. So eventually I pull it outside. There's some pictures that you can see in the other room. And even outside, I could put the meters by it. And I kept on smudging it. And every time I smudged it, it seemed to have a little less activity on the meter. So I got down after about 5 times doing it. And then I reached back out to the family. And they said, thank you so much for dealing with us. I said, whoa. So I haven't taken this thing yet. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't really know if I want to take this thing. And so eventually, obviously, I did and brought it here. But and we do is we try to smudge it on a regular basis. Now, I've had multiple, I'm not sensitive, but I've had a lot of people come in and they've actually done their little rituals on it, which I don't know if that works or not. But
the rituals meaning like trying to cleanse it?
Yeah, cleanse it. I've had multiple people. We have multiple videos there. And this, you know, one woman came in and I can't remember what she was using now. But we've had all kinds of, you know, people try. They, you know, these people who are sensitive come in and they pick up on these things. Now, we've got a lot of items that are given to us that turn out not to be really much in the way of any kind of real paranormal activity. It's sort of like you having a coffee mug in your house that gets moved around. Doesn't mean the mug's haunted. Maybe you have something in the house moving it. You and all you do is removing an item that, mm-hmm. you know, they might have been messing with. So we get items like that. But we do have a few items that definitely seem to have, you know, true to their story. Yeah, we've got quite a few items. We've actually come home, found things on the porch or hanging on the front door. It's, you know, no note. That bothers me.
Like, at least it's not a baby. It's just items that might be haunted.
Well, if you're going to leave something here, just leave us a little note telling us what it's about, you know.
Right.
So we have this, basically that clown in the glitter suit hanging from the ceiling. He's like a Liberace clown. And we don't know what the story is. We just found him hanging on the front door one day. So who knows?
Well, back to Ms. Beasley, because I notice she's currently locked up. She is in a very kind of awkward sitting position. Is that just because that's the way she's moved? Like, you're not going in, like, you're not changing her and putting her back in a regular spot. At this point, she's in there, and she's moving however she wants to move.
No, initially, when we first put her in there, she was facing dead forward.
Yeah.
I mean, so her legs and her arms facing forward, kind of a rigid sitting position. First time we got movement, she actually was lifted up out of the chair. The chair, like I said, is loose in there. So if there was vibration, the chair should rattle around, and she should fall forward or something like that. She shouldn't stand up. So she's lifted up out of the chair and turned to the, looking at her, turned to the right at that point.
Mm.
And now, shortly after that, we had a regular light in there. Now it's an LED light. I had a light in there, and the bulb burnt out. So I had to go in there, unlock her, and I replaced the bulb. While I was in there, I decided to fix her. I put her down back in the chair facing forward, and needless to say, my daughter yelled at me that night, like, why would you touch her? And I said, in hindsight, she's right. But it didn't take that much longer. We came in, and she was totally twisted again up to the left-hand side.
That's, I mean, right now.
No, actually, no. Now, she ended up moving back again.
Oh.
So she twisted from one side all the way to the other. So, you know, it depends on how you're looking at it. And so basically, I mean, we've had 3 major movements. So I don't know. Maybe I should move her again. I hate to.
It seems like the disturbance is maybe what's motivating the movement. Who knows?
It could be. I mean, I want to do is I want to get, I'm probably going to go back into the box. I'm thinking of putting a very small camera kind of looking up at her so we can look for fine movements. We do have surveillance inside and outside the house, your typical home surveillance. And this way I can see like if a logging truck goes by and then she moves and the house flexes a little bit. At least we can debunk all that sort of stuff. And I'm not looking for little tiny movements. I'm trying to see stuff. Now that new doll, the wax doll in there.
Oh, yeah.
We've had movement on her since we've had her, but I don't know. Now, supposedly we're giving her because she's got paranormal activity, but I can't say for sure that that was paranormal.
She's a pretty big doll, so it would take some kind of force to move her. Right?
So I want to move her in a bed. Plus, I don't think it's smart to have a wax doll in the other radiator, too. So I'm going to switch things around a little bit, and I'm going to put a few more cameras into the paranormal room.
And what about the sad clown?
The sad clown in there actually is one that was given to us by a local gentleman, and that goes back to him having nightmares and night terrors as a child. So he had this issue. He outgrew it. He's a grown man now. His kids are grown. He's had no issues. It's time to go back to the house he grew up in. They're putting mom in assisted living, so it's not a happy time. But the family's back in there. He's going through the house, and he comes across his clown that his aunt gave him as a child. So he goes, oh, I remember Aunt so-and-so gave me this. He's walking around with it. When at the end of the day, he brings it home, and he sticks it in a guest room in his house. That night, the nightmares and night terrors come back that he hasn't had since he was a child. Next day, he mentions to his daughter. His daughter goes, that's crazy, Dad. I'll show you. She takes the doll to her house. Next day, she brings it back to him. And I don't even know exactly what happened. They didn't go into detail. But something freaked her out. And she tells her dad, we need to burn it. And he goes, no, burning is the wrong thing to do. They actually bring it to a priest of theirs. And he actually blesses it. And he puts a rosary around it and basically tells them, get it the hell out of the house. And they do that. They put it in an outbuilding. The issues go away. They have no more issues with it. When they hear that we were doing what we're doing here, the ghost tours, he calls me up, and I can't use his name, and we are in the Bible Belt. Basically says, I've got this item. I think there's something attached to it. Would you take it? And then, of course, you know, what the hell don't we take? So, yeah, we said sure. And he brings it over. It's in a brown paper bag, and it's got the rosary wrapped around the neck.
Oh,
boy. And the agreement was that the public can't touch it. So I have it in a Lucite box, and it's literally got, see, sitting on charged salt, got the thing of salt in front of it, and it's got the rosary wrapped around the box itself. Now, once again, I'm not sensitive, so I don't pick up anything on it, but we've had people, that's another thing people are drawn to right away, and they pick up that there's something negative there, there's something not right, but it seems contained.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, moving on to arguably the most popular cryptid, would you say that Littleton and the area surrounding is one of the Bigfoot capitals in a way?
We have more sightings here, I think, anyone's having right now. But at least that's from what I'm seeing. Now, I did not come here to buy a haunted house. I did not have any idea there were Bigfoot sightings in the area. Like I said, I did one documentary up in Whitehall, New York, for the New York Daily News with Paul Bartholomew. It was great. And it was popular. It was a fun piece to do. So I come down here, and I'm hearing some stories about Bigfoot sightings. Now, I have a couple of prints, copies of copies that I acquired along the way. And so people knew I had a mild interest in it. And so I started hearing stories about the Halawasaponi tribe and sightings at Medoc Mountain. Hmm. And then someone came in from Bracy, Virginia, and told me about some sightings I had up in Virginia. We're right at the Virginia line, so right below Lake Gaston. Then we have a woman has a sighting in the town of Littleton. Now, this is, we get a lot of flack for this. This is the block behind us. This woman, Tiffany Merrill, has a sighting January the 8th, 2016, 5 o'clock in the morning. She's literally on her phone with her mother discussing who's going to take her 5-year-old daughter, Bella, to kindergarten. In the process of having this conversation, she hears this noise. Now, it's 5 in the morning. The sun's barely up. But you can see outside. She looks out the back window, which is her kitchen window, and she sees this bipedal creature crashing through the woods behind her house.
Wow.
Jet black fur, 6 to 8 inches long, moving so quickly behind the woods behind her house that the fur is drafting behind it. And so, horrified. I mean, so her mom on the other end of the phone says, thinking it's an intruder, and she explains to her mom what she's seen. Her mom says, call Steve around the corner. He knows about these things. And she doesn't know me from Adam. So her mom calls me. Being a journalist, I run over there. I get the interview. This poor woman's pacing back and forth in the front yard. She is horrified.
Okay.
So,
and you felt it. She was authentically terrified.
Oh, definitely. Okay. So I run this story. A local newspaper picks up on it. That brings in News Observer from Raleigh. They run a cover story, kind of tongue-in-cheek. But CBS comes in. You got to remember, it's all week one. By week two, she's gone. The CBS piece goes national over 180 channels that we were able to figure out ran it. And that brings an MTV travel channel. But the best part is it brought in dozens of other sightings. All of a sudden, people were coming to us to tell us about their experiences. And it hasn't stopped. It's just escalated. I can't even talk.
Because I've noticed, have people, you have so many footprints here in the museum.
Yeah, and this is people, I've had deputy sheriffs come in here and tell us about their sightings. We've had people come in from, you know, you sort of globe. People from other countries come. Recently, we just had a guy, Jesse Walker. He's one of the more popular ones here. Jesse Walker is, you know, 78, 79 years old now. He used to be a local school teacher. He had a sighting about 7 weeks ago behind his house up on Moore Street, same block now, just farther up. And this is, once again, this is a 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a daylight sighting. His lady friend's coming to pick him up to take him out for lunch. He goes to put the garbage out in the garbage in the backyard, and he sees this dark-haired creature kind of hunched over in his backyard, roughly 7-8 feet tall.
In plain sight, I mean, are the woods that close to people's residences here?
Oh, sure.
Wow.
I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere here. I mean, you get these little towns. We do the Paracons. I picked up Ken Gearhart to bring him up for one of our Paracons. I got him at RDU. And I purposely brought him up through the back roads instead of doing I-85 and coming across. And just to show him where we're living. And he was amazed that it's just woods and woods and woods. And then a small little town with a Dollar General and a few homes. And, you know, another 15, 20 miles of just nothing but, you know.
Okay, so the woods go deep.
Oh, yeah. And this is logging country.
Gotcha.
I mean, if you do Google Earth here, you can see. I mean, you and I, if we didn't mind getting bit by snakes and spiders and stuff, we could hike from here, go down 12 and a half miles to Medoc Mountain and probably never be seen, just have to cross a couple of roads. I mean, there are logging now, so occasionally you get some fields that are freshly logged or a couple of areas where there's tobacco being grown or something. You want to move around quietly here, you could easily do it.
And do you enjoy getting out there and...
Bigfooting? Yeah, I enjoy it. I think it's great. And people, it's helped turn this little town around. We're tourists. I mean, we bring people in. I mean,
I found you guys taking a trip up the coast.
Yeah. I mean, we have billboards on I-95. We can't afford it. It's, you know, billboards by selling T-shirts and coffee mugs and buttons and stuff. This is the amount of people we bring to hotels in the area. I mean, the amount of media attention we've had. I mean, like, you know, you coming in. I've done so many podcasts last week. I was on a country radio station. Was it Cash and Carly? I mean, they had a blast with it. The Bigfoot stuff is so much more of a draw, which I had no idea, than the paranormal. It's unique. It's an American thing. We get people now with the virus, things are very flipped around and upside down. Right. But we get people come in all the time. Anything Bigfoot related is just popular. So.
That's so interesting because me personally, I'm not necessarily, obviously paranormal is a passion of mine. I'd say Bigfoot to me has probably been the one that I'm having a hard time grasping onto because I feel like we would have already gotten hard evidence at this point somewhere in the world. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, coming here and seeing all these footprints and hearing the experiences, it gives me hope that there might be one there, you know. But I came here for the paranormal and the other room and the dolls and stuff like that. And so the fact that you have something here for everyone, and that's what's really cool.
Yeah, and we're trying to get a little more into the UFO end. I've never did a documentary on UFO sightings. I probably would have if I was stuck around any longer there. But we actually have a decent sighting just across the border in South Hill. It goes back to, I believe, 1963. I don't have my notes in front of me. But that was they actually supposedly saw a craft come land on a road and then take off, left burn marks. The state police were involved. It was a big story back then.
Farmland, I guess-ish, or woods?
No, it was right in the middle of town.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, this was, you know, literally downtown. It's not a big town, but, you know, it's South Hill. So, I mean, actually, that was done in, someone sent me the articles in one of the UFO magazines. Unfortunately, whatever they scanned in is so grainy, so if anyone's got a better issue of that, you know, please send it to us. And I'm trying to find someone that actually worked the story, but unfortunately, the names I've gotten, I've reached out, I've had no responses. So, you know, all the stuff I'm
getting. That's not shocking. That's generally the status quo for UFO sightings.
It's a problem. So, but yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, as far as going back to the Bigfoot sightings too, yeah, it's, a lot of people come in, they're skeptical of it, but it's just, I think it's so unique. Everywhere has paranormal activity. I mean, you can do your ghost hunting from anywhere from downtown Manhattan to some beach. I mean, you're going to get some, you'll be able to, you know, do your thing. Bigfooting is very specific. I mean, it's certain areas. And I just happen to fall into an area that's got, it's, you know, full of just nonstop activity and, you know, dozens of people willing to come forward and talk about stuff. And that's another issue, too. There's a lot of sightings out there. And a term we used to use when I was a journalist was people would lawyer up. So I come to you and you say, like, oh, yeah, there's a murder next door. I think I know something about it. I want to talk to you right now before you talk to someone else. And, you know, your lawyer, your friend, your buddy, and goes, what are you, crazy? Don't talk to the media and delete your Facebook page, you know? I mean, the common sense things. And it turns out in the paranormal stuff, you have, it's the same way. Someone talks to someone, say, "What are you, nuts? You got to, you know, be interviewed? People are gonna think you're crazy." So I try to get the interviews. If they're willing to do it right away. And a lot of people come back and say, "I wish I never did the interview." And people
because of the harassment.
Yep, the trolling, and it's really bad. And it's usually a lot of the worst people out there are the ones that shouldn't be doing it. They're fellow Bigfooters, but it's a very catty, you know, a lot of green eyes out there. God forbid you get better data. Or same thing in the paranormal world. When I got that ghost cat at the Shanley Hotel, oh my God, I mean, it was that was a can of worms there. And it was just people were more jealous and going like, hey, that's cool.
So you're saying there's jealousy and there's backstabbing amongst the paranormal community.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. It's an issue. And we're trying to address it, trying to get people work together.
That's what it should be. I mean, you know, for people like us who are obviously, we're doing the show, and someone like you, you put your life into this museum. The fact that there's judgment, people don't need to believe in the paranormal. That's fine. But there's no need to judge because, look, we all have our own lives. Whatever you're into, there you go. Be passionate about it. So the fact that there's still judgment, to me, I have a hard time anytime someone says, I don't believe in ghosts or the paranormal. If you look into it, there's so much undeniable evidence at this point. It's just a matter of maybe it's fear or maybe it's ignorance. But either way, the paranormal community should be coming together. That's the main thing.
Oh, I agree. And I got into it late in life. And, you know, my background is videography, photography and stuff. And when I first got into it, I mean, we were getting into the digital world. I mean, I go back to the days of film and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, digital is amazing. I mean, you know, you can get so much more. These cameras see way beyond, just like the audio today, hears way beyond what we can hear. And these are the tools that we use. And it's nice, too. The tools actually work both worlds, cryptozoology and the paranormal. You can, a lot of this equipment goes both places. But I started getting stuff I couldn't explain. I mean, you know, I was there 100% to debunk. Oh, this is bullshit. This
sure.
is
really,
but you're getting stuff like, I mean, I was catching him, like the ghost cat. I mean, I caught these, you know.
A photo of that? Or?
Yeah, actually, that's a video. I've actually got a full video of this thing going down this hallway.
You'll have to show me.
Yeah. I mean, it's some crazy stuff. And, you know, like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Like, you saw the shadow person we caught here. And that's literally on our surveillance system. It was set up just to watch for movement of a doll, and we actually catch a shadow moving down the hallway.
Sure.
And we've seen it multiple times, especially on the second floor. I do not have cameras on the second floor because that's our bedrooms, and it's just downright creepy. But I'll probably set up something somehow. I can get a couple of rooms that are active if no one's using them. We can put temporary stuff up there.
And you would say at this point, the spirits have essentially gotten used to you and your wife. You know, they don't really bother you per se.
I think it's more we've gotten used to them.
Ah.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't think they are. When we first moved in, we were getting pictures pulled off the wall, things broken. Keys are constantly moving. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're pretty good at losing our own keys. We don't need any help, you know. But I mean, things that you would literally put something down, turn around, and it's gone. Mm. And you would look around like, I know that was there. And then you literally go in the other room, come back, and it's, you know, there's somewhere else, and you know, you find them on another counter. There was a key that was hung up in the kitchen. There's nails all over this house, and things to hang on. And basically, it was this key for the outbuilding, the old carriage house. And we were having issues. The key kept on disappearing. And I go in there, and I hang the key back up. And I had a spare. I was on my keychain. And you go back out to go get the key, and it's gone. You look for it, and you look for it, and you look for it. And then sure as hell, you go back later, and the key's hanging back up again. And this would be multiple people looking for the key and go like, did you put that back? No. I mean, we're arguing with each other. One of the original contractors I had here, Raymond Clean, who died while working. He didn't die in the house, but died. And he's been spotted here.
But he spent a lot of time here.
Yeah, did a lot. Plus, he worked for the previous owners. He knew the house. And he knew the house was haunted.
And he was close to you.
Yeah, he was a friend. And actually, his widow actually works for me for town now. She's one of my employees.
So maybe he's just kind of looking over the place.
I think so. I think he feels safer here than his house. But anyway, but basically, he was having issues. Remember, one time he was down here working, and I was going back up north to go to New York. And I told him, I said, by the way, my daughter, Holly, this was my oldest daughter, was first moving down. I said, I'll be back in like about 4 days. I was coming down with another load of junk in a trailer. I said, but Holly's coming down. So just remember, at some point, you're going to see a car here and my daughter will be here. And he said, no problem. So I literally head up to I-95 and I get across the border to Virginia. And I'm gassing up because it's cheaper to gas up in Virginia. And the phone rings and it's Raymond. He goes, where's the key to the outbuilding? And I just got done pointing to him. Now, we've both been having issues with this. So right away, I always put like anything small like that in my watch pocket. So I check myself instinctively, and I said, I don't have it. He goes, I know. I go, Steve, I know it was just there. We just We were both talking about it, and I know it was there. He goes, I didn't touch it. He goes, I'm looking all over. There's some other keys around here, but that's not the key. It was a key. It was like dipped in the black plastic. Mm. And I have the other backup key is on my key ring. I don't want to turn around and go back now. I'm just trying to head up north. So I say, Raymond, if you need to, we had some equipment and stuff in there and some lumber. I said, if you have to, cut the lock and just replace it. He goes, I think I can make do. So anyway, I continue to head up. I forget about the key. This is an issue ongoing. By the time I turn around and come back in a few days, I call my daughter, and it's like a good, you know, 8-hour, 9-hour trip. I say, Holly, I should be there in about an hour or so. So by the time I finally get through, I get here, and as I walk in, I say, oh, by the way, she said, I did laundry. I said, did you find a key in the pocket? She goes, what? In the laundry. And I go over and explain to her about the key, and I go over to show her, and there's the key hanging up. I already called Ray so I could pay him, and he shows up. As soon as he walks in, I got to look at it. He goes, that key wasn't there. I said, I know. This is the issue we're having.
Well, on the bright side, Raymond knows where the key is at all times now.
Yeah, hopefully he... Actually, I eventually got rid of that key, that lock, and I bought a set of four locks, so all the locks I was using matched, and so I ended up with eight keys, and then someone tried to break in the shed right after I did that.
Wow.
And we got that on video on the surveillance. That was kind of funny. And I think that cheesy little lock would have been on there. He would have been in there.
This place is awesome. So where can people find the Cryptozoology and Paranormal Museum online if they want to come and visit?
Just go to Cryptozoology Paranormal Museum as basically the Facebook page, and that will lead you to our regular web pages, which is cryptoparo.org, and I link it to my notes are over there. And but basically, or just Google Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Barcelo, or go to my YouTube channel, which is Stephen Barcelo, it's with one L, and I've got over 100 videos there.
So. Thank you so much for having me, and what a place.
Thank you for coming here and doing the interview. I appreciate it.
If you ever get a chance to go to Littleton, North Carolina, it's about 20 miles off the 95. It's worth a trip. He's a great guy, and it's really fascinating. It's a lot of fun.
I can't wait to like check that museum out in person. Like,
yes.
I can't wait.
It's one of those little trips that are certainly worth it just driving around, and I was really glad I got to go. But with that said, now it's time for voicemails. It's time for the phone calls. We have a really interesting one this week. I honestly don't know who it is because she didn't leave us her name, but here is the call.
A friend of mine got these tickets to go on like a ghost hunters thing at Allensworth, South Central California. It is one of the more haunted places and it's very popular for this sort of thing. Anyway, she got a couple tickets and her husband wouldn't go, and so I volunteered. So we drive down. I live in Fresno, so it was a little bit of a drive, not too bad. And we get down, and it starts up, and I'm a photographer, and so I bring my camera gear for funsies, and I start doing night panoramas, and they turned out really cool. And but these night panoramas of this ghost town, and as I'm standing out there, remember, you know, this is going on at night. God, it was probably 10 o'clock, 10 or 11. And it was in autumn, and so it was starting to get cool, and I hadn't brought a jacket because I tend not to need them. And so I'm standing out in the middle of this field in the middle of the night in this ghost town completely alone because everyone's in a building somewhere pestering any spirits that happen to be around. And I was just, you know, very polite and did my thing, and I shivered, and suddenly a little tornado of warm air surrounded me and the camera while I was taking my pictures. And it was there for 15, 20 minutes while I finished the exposure. And as soon as I was done and I started to pack up, it disappeared. Everyone else talked about how, oh, we didn't get anything and nothing happened. And I remain convinced that they came and said hi to me because I was polite. There's my story. Have a great night.
All
See,
right.
Being polite, it just helps everything in life. We've talked about this before.
Well, you know who that was. That was Deborah Kuntz, the sweetest baby angel in the world, most amazing photographer ever. And as soon as I heard her voice, I was like, I know who that is. she's amazing, legit, and she really genuinely is kind. So to hear her talk about that is so her. It's so her.
But it's also us. I mean, we talked about it in previous episodes. Yeah. You know, it's about showing respect. It's not about demanding or yelling. It's about, hey, we're here, we're showing respect, but if you want to talk to us, we're here.
Exactly.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah. And it shows that kindness is rewarded.
with Taco Bell. That's what it's rewarded with. Just kidding.
No.
Imagine that's our sponsor.
with a locally owned small black business.
Yeah. That's right. Well, if you'd like to call and give us your paranormal experience, it's real simple. We have a voicemail, 818-660-6191. Call us with your paranormal experience. It could be anything. We would love to hear from you, and we love featuring the phone calls every week.
We love that. We love it. So keep tuning in and all that stuff, you guys.
And with that said, very excited. Next week on the show, we have actress, filmmaker, director, writer, paranormal enthusiast, Bria Grant. I know, Anastasia, you're in one of her movies. That's amazing.
I am. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I got to kill somebody. So.
Hey, don't give it away.
Just kidding. I didn't do anything.
Spoiler alert. Jesus.
I can't wait to watch it. But she'll be on the show. She'll be our special guest. So that's exciting. Otherwise, Anastasia, where can people find you?
You can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Watch on Instagram, Anastasia TV, and I'll be at the Burbank Comedy Festival, which is going virtual. So, yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Ashley Trobe, what do you say?
Well, you can find me at Ashley Trobe on everything. That is Ashley, T-R-O-U-B, like trouble without the L-E. Ooh. Please find me. But if you find one of us, you will find all of us.
True that.
Find us, follow us, love us. We love you guys. We want to talk to you guys. We respond to like most people. I'm just going to throw it out there like that.
All right. We're at Haunts and Hops on all social media. I am at Jay Quasto. But with that said, yeah, we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're on all that stuff. We want to interact with you as much as possible. And if you like the podcast, tell a couple of friends, rate us, review us, all that good stuff. We love you. Thank you so much. It's time to say goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.